Brothers Clinton and Carl Galloway realized the power of cable television early on. In the early 1980s, they tried to bring cable to South Central Los Angeles, an area in desperate need of information. When they brought the idea to City Hall, the Galloways say they encountered a pay-to-play system consumed by personal greed rather than civic empowerment. I spoke with Clinton Galloway about his new book, Anatomy of a Hustle, Cable Comes to South Central LA, which documents the brothers' story. So how did you get the idea to bring cable television to South Central?
The idea was really my brother's idea. He was a very bright guy, and he sat down and talked to me and told me that this was going to be the future of entertainment, and basically he thought the cable would become the new newspaper for the new generation. And I actually laughed at him when he first told me, because I said, people are going to pay to watch television. That's how we're going to get rich, right? He said, oh, of course, they're going to pay to watch TV. I couldn't believe it, but I said, okay, you're my big brother. I'll go with it. Because I worked for an investment banking firm, the next day I went in and asked to speak to an analyst for our cable division. And he told us what cable really was and what it could do and the power and the strength that cable was projected for over the next couple of decades. After hearing that and after hearing my brother, I was sold already.
Originally, was your goal just to profit off this, or did you have kind of a more philanthropic idea of bringing information to South Central?
Our goal when we started was to bring information to the public and to help, you know, the people who didn't have information accessible to them, improving educational opportunities, economic opportunities, and medical opportunities. The AIDS epidemic was coming on very strong at that point, and no one was saying anything in South Central about it. People were contracting AIDS and didn't even know what it was.
Tell us about your first meeting with an LA politician.
Well, my brother met him first. He went down to Robert Farrell's office. They just simply assumed they would just give us some help with the bureaucratic process. And a gentleman by the name of Channing Johnson, who happened to be the deputy to Robert Farrell, took my brother aside. And after he found out what cable was really worth, he and Councilman Farrell's attorney told my brother that we had to give them 2/3 of our company if we wanted to do business here. My brother was not at all going to accept that, and it was not something we were used to. But I think the thing that really upset us more was they felt they were entitled to take whatever we were bringing, whatever we wanted to do in South Central. They had no concern about what the benefits were to South Central. They were only thinking about short-term financial gains. Our goal was a long-term development of a distribution system for information.
And did it get better or worse after that meeting?
It only got worse. They brought in bigger and bigger players, you know, and, then the mayor stepped in, and, we were told by the mayor himself that if we didn't do the deal they had told us, we couldn't do business here. And I was shocked, because to me it seemed illegal. That is why we were able to go to federal court. It's historic when minorities have lost their ability to get any sort of cooperation from local governments, or local governments violate their rights. They seek the protection of the federal court system. And that's what we did. In 1986, the Supreme Court heard the case and came back with a 9-0 verdict in our favor.
And did you ever get to bring cable television to South Los Angeles?
No, we did not. In 1986, the case was remanded back to U.S. District Court, and again, it came back to the same judge who had dismissed it 3 years earlier, Consuela Marshall. She kept the case and held the case for 6 years, did nothing with the case, allowed discovery to go on. In 1992, she said she agrees with the Supreme Court, and the violation of our civil rights had taken place. So in order to compensate us for that, she gave us $1 and refused to allow us to force the city to change the law that would allow us to build a second system here. So basically, we were locked out and our rights were taken. Because if your rights are only worth $1, what kind of constitutional rights do you have?
What made you want to put your story into a book?
Well, as my brother and I felt it was very important that we translate, you know, the history of what went on in South Central and our intentions and what we could have become in South Central in terms of developing things. The fact is that, you know, South Central still remains without an ability to develop its own identity. All images that the young people see are images that are given to them through the media. And black people control no media, therefore we control no images. My brother's passed, but one of the things he wanted me to do, as he told me as he was leaving, is to make sure I tell the story so that people know that we really tried, because we came from Birmingham, Alabama. And it's very important that people understand that the opportunities that we had here were not available to people in Birmingham or in a lot of places. And it was our obligation to take those, you know, opportunities, because with every right goes a responsibility. And when we want to exercise our First Amendment rights, when people seek to take them, it's our obligation to go after it and pursue the legal bounds to stop them. And the Constitution is there to protect the citizen from the government, not to protect the government from the citizen.
Clinton Galloway will be signing copies of his new book at Leimert Park's Esowon Bookstore on April 25th at 7 p.m.